morning. All right, I'm good. Thank you very much. It's a great privilege for my wife and I to be here once again to visit you all. It's been about 12 months since we were here, and time has really gone, but we are grateful to God for keeping us and giving us this privilege and opportunity to be here once again. We want to thank you for your support for us in East Africa. It was great to just walk in here and see all these flags representing the churches in East Africa that we work with and that you support very generously. So that is really awesome. That is really great. Thank you so much for that. So amen. Amen. We're grateful. And I thank God also for the privilege to just be able to share from the Word and be able to just bring a connection between the church here and the churches in East Africa, that you can connect with us and know us better and how we live and how we do stuff. And so I pray that the message will be encouraging and also will be able to bring you with me to East Africa and to connect with us and how we are there as brothers and sisters from across the Atlantic. And so, amen. Let's say out of prayer, and then I will continue. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We are grateful for this privilege to be alive, to be well, to be strong enough to come before your presence, to worship you, and at this time to be able to just share from our lives, share with one another, to share from your word. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Guide me. Help me to say the very words that deserve for us to hear today, that we can all be encouraged and built up according to your will. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. And as we get there, this is my family up here. That's my wife with our two children, a boy and a girl. We have Ucheng and Akinyi. You saw them the last time. They have grown 1 year on. Ucheng is 18. The girl is 14. And we thank God for them. Our son was baptized 4 years ago, and we praise God for that. Please be praying for him to stand firm, and for our daughter as well to hear the voice of God and to be able to listen. And again, here you see them feeling strong and ready to lift their daddy up. So this was a great, great fun time with my children there after one of the services right there. Some of the leaders in the churches in East Africa, beginning with Nairobi, my wife and I, together with Mike and Liz Odwalo, leading the Eastern Block, and then Raymond and Lily Musonye, leading the Northern Block. We work together as a team, as evangelists in the church there, to lead the church in Nairobi and oversee the work in East Africa. So be praying for us, that we will be united, we will be firm, and we will be able to continue to serve God in that way. In a great way. A few of the other leaders around East Africa, we have Abrahano and Zo out in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, Hillary and Annette in Luero, Uganda. We have Joachim and Eva Palanjo out there in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Johnson and Nora Namei in Kigali, Rwanda. Let's be praying for a church in Kigali. They have been challenged. The government there came up with some laws that have made it very difficult for your brothers and sisters to meet there. And so they are not able to gather together. More than three people, you know, the government wants to know what you're doing. And so the leaders, right now, they are not in Kigali, they are in Uganda. So they have to call their brothers and sisters and talk to them on the phone and disciple them and share with them the messages and all that and do it in twos and all that. So it's very challenging out there. But we pray that God will open the way. We are working on something, and we pray that they can be able to go in, possibly as students and in the college. They can learn a language there and have the disciples go there for fellowship and for church. Then also we have our leaders in Burundi. Tom and Didi Akello there. That's my elder brother, by the way. He's also an evangelist in the church. Tom and I leads the church in Burundi. We have Richard and Florence Ahenda in Kampala, Uganda. Steve and Josephine out there in Bungoma. Then Kimanzi and Janet in Embu. Embu is in Kenya. So we have 8 churches in Kenya, and the 7 other churches are spread around the other 5 countries. Then we have our newest appointed evangelist and women's ministry leader. You know, they were appointed back in September, so we are very excited about that. They lead the Lake region, and they've been doing a fantastic job. That's Paul and Betty Day. We are very excited for them. Amen. So today I want us to talk about victorious living. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we read from verse 18. This is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, just talking to them about how they are chosen by God, how God just loves them and has blessed them with every kind of spiritual blessing from heaven. And that, you know, he would like for them to open their eyes and to really see who Jesus is and what he has done for them. And so in verse 18, we read here, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You know, when we think about living victoriously, many times we feel challenged as Christians, at least out there in East Africa. We feel very challenged because of some of the things that we face and we go through, the issues of our poverty, where people live, tough economic situations and prices of things being very high and unaffordable. And so we find people fighting hard to try and break free of that. And that can lead to things like corruption. It can lead to just not having integrity at work and just messing up in many different ways. And so the scripture encourages us as disciples that indeed God has given us everything that we need, and we have every spiritual blessing. And when we open our eyes to see spiritually, we are able to see the glorious inheritance that God has prepared for the saints. And so as we live our lives and look forward towards that, we are able to break through these challenges and be able to overcome so that we can live holy lives before God, even with the challenges that we face. And, you know, when we see that this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us as disciples, I mean, that is an awesome thing. And yet, many times we don't see it. You know, because we look around us, we see others, we compare ourselves with other people, they seem to be better off. And if I only had a better car, if I had a bigger house, if I had, you know, my own helicopter to be able to go over the traffic jam, you know, and we are not happy as disciples of Jesus, because we've forgotten who we are and what Jesus has done for us. We need to remember who Jesus is and what God has done for us, so that we can live victorious lives. As we walk around, as we talk to people and share our faith, we are not afraid, because we know that Jesus is with us. And I like what he says right there at the end, and God placed all things under his feet. Under his feet, that is awesome. And appointed him to be head over everything. Everything in heaven, everything on earth. Jesus has all authority, and everything is under him.
That's right.
For who? For the church. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That God will do everything and anything for the sake of the church. Jesus laid down his life, even as we had earlier, and as we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And he sacrificed so that we can be redeemed. And he's willing to continue to do whatever it takes so that we can be victorious. I pray that we can be inspired by these scriptures and be able to live victorious lives. When we live victorious lives, we will always be joyful, no matter what we face, wherever we are. We will always go against the grain because the world always pulls us towards itself. And the lust of the world is so big that sometimes we lose focus of who we are and where we are going. But when we are living victoriously, we will stand up for what is right. And we will stand up for what Jesus says and what the Bible says. And we will go against the grain. Because there's so much pressure out there in the world. In the schools, for our children, you know, at workplaces, and just what we do, but we have to stand firm. We will be able to eventually make it to the end. Amen. And these are the things I would like for us to talk about. Philippians chapter 4. Be joyful always. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the Lord and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible calls us to rejoice in the Lord always. That is never easy when you're going through a difficult time. You know, earlier on he begins to talk about the two sisters who are having issues. And you know, Paul is calling the church and the disciples to be able to help them. You know, can you help these two women who have worked hard by my side, who have been godly and spiritual and have done great things, but Satan is trying to find a way to come in. And when he comes in, he takes away the joy. When he makes us focus on ourselves instead of how we can help each other and serve one another, then we lose direction and we lose the joy. When we look at our circumstances, we can lose the joy. But he says, you know what? You can be joyful always. That is never easy. And he says, in each and every situation, we present our requests to God. When we do that, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is ready to do that for us every single time. But we must allow him by facing the issues that try to take away the joy and saying, Jesus is our joy. Amen? I mean, out there in Kenya, in East Africa, we have disciples who live in some of the most dilapidating situations that are very difficult. When you look at this picture, this is one of the largest slums. Actually, it is the largest slum in Africa. This is Kibera. We have disciples living out here. And my wife and I lead this ministry at this time. It's part of our ministry that we lead. And it can be challenging to have joy when you are living in a small tin house with one, in one room, and you are married with children, and you live on less than $1 a day. That can be challenging to be joyful in those situations, living in the slums. In these areas, it becomes very volatile when we have elections. These are some of the hot spots during elections because of issues of tribalism. And you find people being chased out, people being killed. And sometimes in the night we receive a phone call that, you know what, there's all kinds of chaos going on out there. And we can't get there. So we tell the brothers, you know, let us pray. And we pray on the phone with them to just encourage them to trust God, that God will protect them. It is challenging. You know, as we'll walk in there, right here you can see some of the paths in Kibera. We have disciples who walk through some of these places. You have trash all over the place. You have sewage flowing down. I mean, when you visit and you go and visit your brothers and sisters who live there, you know, we have to give you gumboots, you know, to put on. And you have to watch where you're walking and where you're going. But we have brothers and sisters who live here, and they are joyful in Jesus Christ. They are fired up that Jesus has saved them from the corruption of this world. Now, you know, this is one of the brothers. He's a Bible Talk leader. You know, he's called Stephen Dewey, and leads a sector there in Kibera. But this slum has about 1 million people living in there. You know, and so we have about 100 disciples in that ministry. And we have such slums around the place. And sometimes you can ask yourself, how can someone be joyful in this kind of situation? But they say, you know what? Jesus died for me on the cross. And they say that, you know, Jesus has prepared a place for me. And they realize that being joyful does not have to do with how much money you have in your pocket, but what you have in your heart and what God has put in there. And these brothers and sisters, they have victory in Jesus Christ. This is the next slide is one of the sisters, you know, out there, outside of his house, of her house where they stay. She stays with her family, she's married with children. And you can see the big smile on her face. She's just fired up to be a disciple. She lives in there. And this is what she does. She has vegetables that she sells outside the door of her house. And so as people pass by, and you can see it's just open. There's no road there. It's just muddy paths and, you know, soil and everything. But, you know, food is just sold. She sells it. She's happy. She's in church. She's excited about life. And we praise God for these brothers and sisters who keep standing firm and are challenged. But they come to church and they have something to give at church. And when we meet all of us together, it's very costly because they have to cross the city and come over to where we have the church building. And it's very costly. And for one family, it could cost like $10 to carry the whole family to church, you know, two ways. And that is just so much for them. And so for that, we know, we organize all church meetings, you know, at least just like 4 to 6 times in a year. We don't do more than, because it is too costly for them to come many times over, and also the way we've organized the church. And so we thank God for that. Now, you know, my wife and I, when we started leading that ministry sometime in, I was there earlier on. I lived in that area when I was still a student, and I would close the university and I'll go stay there with some disciples. And later on in our ministry, when we joined the full-time ministry, we were sent there, and then we went to other ministries, and we came back in like 2001. And we stayed in a place called Karanja Road that is not really the slum. Is a brick houses that is just next to this slum area, but it's all the same area. And chaos broke out. And that time our son was 1 year old. He was actually going to be 1 year old in like 5 days. And so the place was getting heated up because of the tribalism. And a few days before that, my wife was telling me, we need to move out of this house. We need to move to a different location. You know, I'm like, we have brothers and sisters here. You know, we're fine. We'll be okay. And she kept struggling in her heart, and we talked about it. And we went to see the landlady. And we talked to her, and she was like, no, you know, it's okay. You guys will be fine. But my wife's spirit was saying no. So we went back home. And we stayed there, and the next 2 days, chaos broke out in the whole area. And they started throwing rocks because the other guys are a different tribe, and we were living at a different tribal location. And rocks started coming into our house, breaking the glass, falling into the sitting room. So we knelt down to pray. We called the police. They didn't come. I mean, the police is asking, so how many people have been killed? I'm like, what are you talking about? You need to be here. I mean, it was crazy. And so I took my son, who was 1 year old, who is 18 now, wrapped him, you know, in a duvet, so that we can protect him from the stones. If they come and, you know, land on him, that he'll be protected. They ran out, and I had packed everything in my small bag, and I forgot it in the house. So I ran back to get it, but they were already outside. So when I came back, you know, the gate could not open because the people had been fighting outside of it and had pushed the gates, and the lock had got stuck. So I got a crowbar and broke it open, and the people were out there. So they went out. I put down the crowbar, went to get my bag, and they surrounded me. And they were with pangas and machetes and all that. And I was frozen. And it was like hilly, so I can see my family up there. And I'm surrounded. And I mean, they had been killing people there that week. And then someone in the crowd just spoke up and said, "He is not one of them." I don't even know who that was. To this day, I believe it was an angel of God.
Amen.
"He is not one of them." And they just opened up. I did not look back. All the way, you know, all the way up and left. They burnt all the houses surrounding our house. They were all on fire. Only our house was not burnt, but they broke in and stole some stuff. By the time the police came, you know, they salvaged a little bit, so we came back later to get our stuff and move out. But that is how dangerous the place is. And that's how it is. But you know what? We have joy in Jesus Christ. I don't know what is challenging for you or what takes away your joy, but I pray that you can be inspired by what Jesus has done for you and make a decision that you will not allow Satan to take away your joy, but that you will be joyful always. You know, we have transport challenges that sometimes can take away our joy. I was in traffic here, and I took this picture from inside of my car. And, you know, I was stuck going home. This place is Jogo Road. It's like maybe 1 mile from my home place. And I got stuck in the traffic, and especially when it rains. I was stuck there for more than 1 hour trying to get home. You know, I'm like, this is crazy, but that is just the traffic that we face sometimes, you know. I have some clips here. I don't know if they'll play. Maybe we can try the next slide. Can you click on it, see if it will play there? You know, I was going to visit one of the brothers' places, but the road was so bad. So I drove up to the place where my vehicle could go. And then I came out because it had rained and the place was flooded. Okay, it doesn't seem to be playing. The place was flooded. So I'm calling this brother, "How am I going to get here, you know?" He said, "Well, we'll try and figure it out. You can detour and do all that." And then a truck came by that could be able to go through the water. So I asked those guys for a lift. So I left my car, jumped on top of the truck to just cross that place. Then I walked the rest of the way. So I thought, I was like, man, this is crazy. So I took a video of myself, and I was hoping you could see that, you know, as I went to this place. And I mean, we just face that all the time. And sometimes we travel up country, we have all kinds of burials, and you know, the roads are so bad, and you have to take what we call boda-boda, you know, motorbikes to take you through the place. So I had that as well, but that's okay if you're not able to see that. But I pray that we can always be joyful as we serve God. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. I think we can move on to the next scriptures there. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I believe that in every congregation, we have brothers and sisters who have learned this. They have learned to be content in each and every situation. They have learned to be joyful always. They've learned to continue to serve God. Let us learn from these people. Let us learn from one another. Let us encourage one another. What we have heard or seen in the faith of those around us, that we can hold on to that, and it can inspire us to be able to live that kind of life. Because God's peace is waiting for you, and you can have it when you decide to live a victorious life. Point number two, going against the grain. Romans chapter 12. We read in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, as we live our lives, like I said earlier, the world is always calling. But will you stand up and go against the grain? That can only happen when we allow Jesus to fill us. When we allow our minds to be transformed. When we allow Jesus to transform us every single day. Then we will be able to stand, and we can say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. You know, when we don't do that, we find ourselves involved in things that are not godly. You know, corruption gets into our hearts very subtly. It doesn't come all at once. You just get attracted into something and feel like, well, maybe I can do this, just this once. You know? And before you know it, you're into something that you regret for a long time. You know, because of the corruption that we face in our country, we have many challenges. This picture is not too clear. I took it one time. I was going back home. My wife had taken the car and gone to pick our daughter, from school, and had gone into the ministry. And I was coming back late, so I get into town, and I'm trying to get home. And this is a queue, because we are waiting for public transport. The traffic was so bad, so I'm at the back of the line. You know, so I'm taking this picture from where I'm standing, and the buses were not getting in time to pick people because, you know, of all the traffic and the roads and everything. But these are some of the effects of corruption in the government, and we have people, instead of using the money to widen the roads, make them better and everything, they put it in their pockets, and this is what happens. And, you know, the rest of the people suffer for it, but, you know, I really struggled here. But I took this picture and sent it to my wife because she might have been wondering, where is this man? And I said, you know, I'm on the queue. I'm waiting. There are no vehicles. You know, I'm just waiting here. And I ended up getting home like, you know, 9, 10 p.m., you know, very late. And yet I was here, you know, like 6 o'clock. Trying to get home. So we find these kind of challenges with us. We find that we have brothers and sisters doing businesses where people ask for kickbacks, saying, you know, if you don't give me this much, I'll not give you the business. And we have brothers and sisters saying, no, I would rather stay without it. And this would have been an opportunity for them to get ahead. But they say no. There's this one brother, he's called Dan Shiuka, has just inspired us in amazing ways. He's gotten big deals, and he tells the people, I'm sorry, I cannot take it. And there was this time, you know, he lost a big job, and it went out for a while. But later on, they called him, and they gave him the job. It was amazing that God was able to do that for him. But he just kept standing firm and saying, no, I'm not taking any bribes. No, I'm not giving any bribes and all that. You know, on our roads, we have the policemen. We have a lot of traffic points. And so you get arrested if you're over speeding and all that. But they arrest you not so that you can go at the right speed, but so that you can give a bribe. And so there's this one time I'm driving. I've left Nairobi. I'm going to visit one of the churches in Eldoret. And I'm with two brothers, campus guys, you know, so I like traveling with the young people, so we're going together, the two of them. And I was overtaking one of the trucks on the highway. So the speed limit for us is 100 kilometers an hour. I think that is like 60 miles an hour or so. And so I went over by 6 kilometers an hour when I was overtaking the vehicle. So the policeman stops me. So I stop. And he goes, "Where's your driving license?" So I produce it. It's like, "Mr. Cheng, you are arrested." I said, "What happened?" They say, "You're over speeding." "What?" I said, "I've been keeping my eye on the speedometer all the time. I've been keeping to 100. He said, "Nah, you went 106. I said, "What, 106? Guys who are passing me. Okay, I didn't tell him that because guys were passing me, but I didn't find them at the checkpoint. I mean, they are gone because they just give the bribe and they go." I says, "No, you know, you got to give us something." I said, "I don't have anything. I'm a church minister." He says, "Well, I've got to take you to the police station." And so we talk, then he comes in, so the brother was in front, goes to the back, the policeman gets in, we are going to the police station. So I'm driving very slowly. He said, "Can you drive quickly?" I said, "I don't want to go to the police station, you know, I need to go to church, I'm going to be preaching." It was a very early Sunday morning, so I could get there on time, preach the word, and encourage one of the brothers who had lost his brother, because I was also going to help with the burial, you know, on the Tuesday. And so he says, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "You know, the Bible says that if someone is taking you to court, you know, make peace with them before you get there." He says, "What? No way. There's nothing like that in the Bible." I said, "No, it is there. Show me." So I remove the Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And read from verse 23 down. And he is shocked. He's like, "What?" He said, "You know what? Turn around. Take me back where you found me." That's all he said. I was like, "Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of the scriptures." You know, I mean, the brothers I was with, they were amazed. To this day, they're saying, "Man, powerful scripture. The word of God is powerful and active. It is awesome." But we say, "No, we cannot give the bribe. And we have to stay faithful." Several brothers have been taken in for things that they did not do. And we had to go get them out of there. But hey, we have to keep our integrity. Then we have a lot of violence that takes place as well, and terrorism acts that also happen, and it can be very challenging. In January, maybe you had, maybe you didn't, in the middle of January, we had a terrorist attack in Nairobi. And we had, these terrorists get into a building complex where we have a hotel, we have offices, and we have expatriates who are in there. And where that was taking place, that complex shares a fence with the school that our daughter is attending. And so on that very day, we had gone to pick our daughter at about 3 p.m. And so we arrive. My wife gets out of the car. She goes to the administration. We need to sort out a few things. And I'm still looking for parking. And this huge explosion goes off. Boom! I'm like, "What was that?" Because it shook the car. And I'm thinking it's a huge electrical transformer or something. So we start talking with the parents. And then a few minutes later, gunfire. Loud gunfire, like it's happening. So I'm trying to, where is this happening? Because it's just right there. That was so challenging. So my wife calls me from where she is. I'm like, "Yes, that is gunfire. What's going on? We need to get our daughter and get out of here. I can't find my daughter. She's not come to the car." So I try to go through an open place that goes to their classrooms, but that is the place that is closest to where the gunfire is happening. So I went halfway and ran back. I said, "Man, I'm scared." So I'm looking at my wife, who's standing near the car now, and I'm saying, "Has she come?" She says, "No, I said, no, I have to go look for her. And so I gather courage and go through the compound into the classrooms, but she was not there. Because when the gunfire started, they took all the children down to the basement, got them out, and took them to another field. And so later on, I come out, go look for her, we find her, and we leave. But by that time, we don't know it's a terrorist attack. So we are trying to go to get our son, who just finished high school, is waiting to go to the university, and he was serving in his former school as an assistant teacher. But we couldn't go because they had barricaded all the roads leading to that place by that time. We are trying to call him, we can't reach him. So we said, you know what, we got to pray for him. God will take care of him and he will get home safe. And so on the way, he calls us. He says, guys, have you heard there's a terrorist attack? We're like, what? We thought it was the police chasing thugs. So, I mean, it was so bad. I mean, they killed so many people. But these are some of the challenges that we face. Results of corruption. But sometimes you look at corruption out there in the government with the people who do things like those and allow such guns to go into the hands of terrorists or, you know, give them citizenship or stuff like that. But what about us? In the small things that we don't do the things that we are supposed to do or live in the way that we are supposed to live. We have to examine ourselves and say, no, we will not give in to that. And we will stand up and do what is right. In Romans 12 verse 3, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Everything that I do affects the family of God. Because I belong to all the other members. Everything that you do affects everybody else. Because you belong to this whole family. And so I have to make the decision that, you know what, I will go against the grain. I will be able to stand firm. I will not give in to the corruption of the world. Because whatever decision I make affects everybody else. And when we do that, then God's name is glorified as we serve one another instead of serving ourselves. And finally, standing firm to the end. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Verse 54, continuing, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen? Yeah, we are here. It's challenging in the world, and our bodies groan. But the truth of the matter is that one day we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And the perishable, the flesh, will be clothed with the imperishable. And that day is going to be awesome. We look forward to that day when we'll be welcomed into heavenly dwellings. I pray that we will all be able to stand firm to the end. That we will not be afraid of death. We will not be afraid of the things of this world. And as the Bible tells us, let nothing move you. Let nothing move you. Stand firm. We face many challenges out there in East Africa. We lose loved ones all the time. And in the next image, we're able to see disciples, who have lost loved ones. And many times, like my wife and I, we have to keep traveling out of town because the culture has it that the body has to be buried in the ancestral home. So we have to drive 300 miles, 200 miles all the time. And sometimes it can be very tiring. And the picture below is a bunch of disciples who had traveled like 350 miles for a burial. And you know, this is very costly as well. But sometimes it's draining emotionally, financially, and it is difficult. But we just have to stand firm and know that as disciples, when our time and our day is called, we will be able to make it in the end. Amen?
Amen.
And we are all on a journey. So I'll let my wife share a few things as we are on this journey to heaven.
Good morning. Yeah, we really thank God for the opportunity to be here and to share this time with you. We thank God so much. I know we were here last year, and it's just a great opportunity. And I think when I look at the finish line, because here we have the finish line, it's so amazing to finish, like when you're doing a race and just to cross the finish line. There's no feeling like that, eh? I don't know, I'm sure some of you have done this, and there's, I don't even know how to express it, but there's such fulfillment, you know, when you actually run a race and you cross the finish line and you finish, and you just feel like, yes, I made it to the end.
That's right.
And so it's just great. We've had some races, and I like going for races sometimes. And I know that when I'm running, sometimes I put out my hand, because then I know that Jesus is with me. God is actually running with me. Because sometimes it's very difficult. You reach a point and you're like, man, am I going to finish this race? And you know, when I start running, I don't stop. Like, I just keep running. Even if I'm going very slowly, I just keep running until I finish the race. Next slide. Yeah, and okay, so I had a chance to go to Mount Kilimanjaro last year. It's a dream that I've had like for a very long time. And wow, it was very beautiful, but very intense. So we were with a friend of mine that we actually went with to Mount Kenya like 5 years back. And what happened is that when we reached the summit, there was a windstorm. And so that was very difficult. And so the challenge coming down was that when we came down to the camp where we summited from, I thought that was where we were going to end, but we needed to come down further. So, you know, in your mind, you're set, and I'm thinking, oh, so this is where we're going to finish, and you know. Yeah, but the thing with mountains is that when you reach the summit, you have that same excitement, you know, like you're crossing the finish line, but now you have to come down. Man, you have to come down.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you just wish, man, I wish some helicopter would just come and carry me from here, but you actually have to go down. So when I was going down Mount Kenya, it was very tough for me because there was a lot of snow. It was my first time to see snow, and it was snowing very heavily. And my knees just refused to obey me, my legs. So they stopped obeying me, and so I'd try to walk this way, but, you know, I'd be wobbling, and I fell down so many times, and it was just crazy. Yeah, then Kilimanjaro, the challenge was the windstorm. The temperature was minus 14. You know, for us, we come from a very warm place, so that was very cold. And then now coming down all the way, like, you know, with that mentality. So we had to walk. I mean, there was a lot of walking, and, you know, but I really thank God for the opportunity. All of us summited, and, you know, we got back down. But you can imagine how it feels when now we were actually down on level ground. Like, you're on level, I mean, you can actually step down. It was really awesome. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. My wife is a tough lady. Going up there. And so I just cheer from the bottom of the mountain. And wait for her, so amen, amen. She's a great lady. Awesome. Just some good news here, and victories that we have had as we close out. We praise God for the joy that the disciples have, meeting together, singles activities, father, son, mother, daughter, and all mixed up. We praise God that these have been going very well, and the disciples are fired up and excited, married, having activities. You know, so we praise God for that. Men going through classes and recommitting themselves to Jesus and saying we'll continue to serve God. So that has been wonderful. We've had our campus ministry. We had the campus challenge camp, and we had the 90 disciples just showing up, having a great time, learning from the Word of God and keeping it going. And more than that, instead of just thinking about themselves, they coordinated and organized the Father's Day and the Mother's Day last year. here. I don't know where they got the red carpet, put it out for them. You know, walked them in one by one and had a special time, cake for them, lots of dancing. It was great to just hear about the prom that took place yesterday. Yeah. And that's been awesome. You know, we've been staying with Russ and Evelyn, taking good care of us. And just being able to see them just enjoying life and dancing and all dressed up, that was so inspiring. Hey, man, we are inspired. We are inspired. We feel so young, and look forward to when we get there that we can have that same energy. So keep it going, bro. Hey, man, that is awesome. We had our East African Teens Swamp taking place with our teenagers coming through, and that has been awesome. Organized and run by Jeff Roraba and his team from here, and that has been wonderful. And last year we had the largest attendance of teenagers, at least 145 teenagers just came out to have a great time of learning and growing. And from that, we had 16 teenagers being baptized in the Nairobi church. That was very exciting. We also enjoy weddings. We've had great weddings. But of late, we've been seeing weddings between the children of disciples. And so that has been very special. And so what we tell our disciples today is that be very nice to the person sitting next to you, because you don't know if they're going to be your in-law tomorrow. So, you know, amen. We've got to treat each other nicely, and that is a wonderful thing. This year, actually last month, we were able to send out interns to help with the church in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. These were the three that had just arrived there by the time we were leaving, and you know, we praise God for them.
Yeah, so actually one of them is a product of Chance for Africa. He was actually supported by Chance of Africa, so that's awesome. Then we've had some teachers in training, I think four of them. So William is one of them. And then we have their handlers. We have Richard, we have Julius, and those are their families, and Jarrett. Yeah, Jarrett went to school with William, so...
He's the one who reached out to me, actually, yeah, 30 years ago almost.
Yeah, so these four are going to be appointed on June 16th. So we are really, really looking forward, because they are the first teachers that we are having in East Africa. We also have elders in training. There's a couple that the slide just went off, but the Mwanzas, so they and another couple are going to be appointed. The Mwanzas and the Ogingas are going to be appointed also as elders. So these are the first ever elders we are having in East Africa. So we are really like... excited about it. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Pray for us. May God continue to bless your generous hearts as you continue to support us. We love you very much. May God bless you. Amen. Amen.